When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're very welcome to Thursday afternoon's Late Lunch on LMFM Radio, coming to you live from the Valley in Malera, where they're celebrating their 10th birthday. Yes, the place is looking amazing with balloons. The 10 is up there beside Mr. Brian Farley, who's with me today. And a lady came along and said, "It's a long time, Brian, since you were 10. I'll tell you, it's a bloody long time since I was 10 as well. Anyway, we're here for the duration of the afternoon. If you're in the area, drop in and say hello. But if you're not, sit back and enjoy. We have lots of guests and people to meet and some fantastic giveaways. Yes, I have a €100 voucher to give away for the Valley Inn this afternoon, and a €250 voucher for the Slieve Russell Hotel. All you have to do, you know the form now, we've been doing it all week, just message me now, WhatsApp or text 086 1800 658, Valley Inn, 086 658, by WhatsApp or text Valley Inn, and include your name and details there, and we'll ring a couple of you during the afternoon. We're going to do the €100 voucher first, and then towards the end of the show we'll give away that wonderful prize for the Slieve Russell Hotel. And if you're in the Valley Inn today, and there's loads of people in the Valley Inn today, there's lovely spot prizes up for grabs here too. We'll tell you more about that in a little while. Just want to say top of the show two things. The road is fixed. I was on about it yesterday, giving out about the council. Believe it or not, they fixed it and they've restored it beautifully, so credit allowed, County Council, where credit is due. So they're not digging up the road anymore. And I just want to mention my colleague Sinead Brazel, because Sinead leaves LMFM Radio tomorrow and the 11 to 1 show after 5 years, and she's going to be a massive loss. We all absolutely love her, but she's moving to pastures new, a new challenge for her. I'm delighted for her. I wish her all the very best, and who knows, someday she may be back on the airwaves. I have a little inkling about that as well. But good luck, Sinead, doing our final show tomorrow between 10 and 1. Don't miss that. It's a very, very special show tomorrow on LMFM Good Friday. Now, we're in the Valley Inn. Shall we have to start with the main people, don't we? John and Jackie O'Connell, thank you both for inviting us here this afternoon for this special show.
Thank you, Jerry, for coming.
Not at all. You're very, very welcome. 10 years. Has it flown by, John?
Absolutely, just in the blink of an eye. Absolutely, it was a fantastic 10 years, I have to say. I don't know what to say about it. I wanted
to say this. How did it come about? How did you come to be here? Well, how did it happen? Did you just, was it advertised? What was the story?
Yeah, it was advertised, and there was a neighbour across the road there, Nicky Fitzpatrick. I remember him saying to me one day, he said, "See, the Valley Inn's up for sale." And I said, "Well, if it's up for sale, I'm the fella's going to buy it." And that's exactly what I done. He's a neighbour, actually, just lives across the road. Yes. Here. Jimmy Carter owns it at the time. Kind of.
You just set your monkey. Was it as simple as that? Was it as straightforward as that?
Yes, yeah. Basically, it was. Once John sets his mind on something, that's it. There's no turning back on it.
End
of story. Look, it was a great move. It was for both of us. Hard work, but we got there, and it's hard to say we're 10 years here at the moment.
Isn't it something else? Time flies by when you're enjoying yourself and working bloody hard as well.
Yes, I have to say that.
No, I want to go back quite a bit back with you two, because where love stories begin, Ready Penny Inn. Is that true?
Yes, yeah.
That's where you met, wasn't it?
Yes, John came up to work with Jim and Margaret McKeown in the Ready Penny Inn. From Cavan, Bailiver in Cavan.
End of 75. Jim bought in September 75.
Yeah. I work part time, so yeah, we met there and that was it. Yeah.
The rest is history.
History, yeah. Exactly.
How long were you in the Ready Penny?
We were in the Ready Penny. I worked there with Jim for 13 years. I was actually with Jim from I was about 12 years of age. Remember, I couldn't even reach the counter. He was a puppy standing on a wooden beer crate to wash glasses in behind the counter. He bought up there. He used to come down and pick me up at the weekends. I was originally from Cavan, so he came down and picked me up and take me over. And Christmas, which would have been December 1975, I kind of stayed with him full time. I lived with Jim then until we got married. And great time.
Great time.
Yeah, then Jim was selling it around about, I think it was about around 1989 or early, just maybe shortly before the hinder around that time. And we went on then, myself and Jackie, we were married in 1980.
Yeah.
So we went on then and we leased the Danny Bay in Reastown,
Another. God, yeah, you're great for landmark businesses, aren't you?
Yeah, we were there. I was out in a country spot as well. We were out there for 9.5. We had actually 9.5 fantastic years there.
Yeah.
Great time.
Yes.
Then Dermin came up for sale, which would be the Village Saloon.
Yes.
And we kind of trying to get our own place. Mm. So we bought that. We started working on that in around about the end of 97, something like that.
Yes.
We could have been close to 98 when we got into it. We were there for 8 years in that. So we had a fantastic 8 years. So
yeah. Bit of a break then, I know you took from the business. And then here we are in the Valley Inn where you are today.
Yeah.
Was it difficult early on, you know, to build this business? You know, what did you take over? Did you have to start from a relatively low position and then work upwards?
Yeah, when we bought here, look, it was a going concern.
Yeah.
There was business here. Okay, a lot smaller staff. I think there was only about 12 altogether working here, like when we bought initially. At the moment, we have 41 of the staff here, which is fantastic.
Oh my.
I know it's a bigger animal now, but you have to kind of keep on top of it. You know, we've a fantastic staff here. There's an awful lot of staff is here with me since I came here. There's actually some of them came here. Before we bought it, which stayed on, Jean, I think, is here. Jenny is here, 15 years or something. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of staff, which is... That's not a...
Can I say to both of you, that is a wonderful achievement. From 12 to over 40 people, and 30 of those full-time as well.
Yes.
It's a huge operation. You are an SME in its own right. But Jackie, I have to say to you, and you know I've been in and out here a little bit myself. I have to say... The service, the level of service, the friendliness of the staff is...
They are absolutely
wonderful.
Fantastic. They are. Without them, we definitely wouldn't be here without them today. Look, there's nothing they can't do. John's dad died there just before Christmas and they just ran the place for us. Mm. There was no problems at all about it.
Yes.
Yeah, to just stand in when we need it.
Without and that's when you know when the chips are down... And you know there's somebody there to back to help you.
We owe a lot to them. Yes. We really do. Yes.
Really good of you to say that. And they have the utmost respect, I have to say, for yourselves too. I have to talk about COVID times because I suppose it goes without saying it was the biggest challenge in the 10 years that you've been here.
Mm. Yeah.
You just had to close, had you? Close the doors.
Look, we closed on a Sunday night. We thought we'd be closed for a week or two, maybe a month. That's basically what we were taught at the time that we closed it. We closed it on the Monday, say Sunday night.
Indeed.
I remember on the Monday morning, Jackie says to me, we take all this stuff to the homeless, which we went out to the place in the dock, homeless shelter, brought any food, anything that we had in the whole place, brought it out there, give it to them. Now, after the first weekend, Jackie said to me, look, I think we better do something here. So we opened back up again. You're probably better than this, Jackie, than I am.
Yeah, trying to keep the staff involved, not to lose a lot of them, and... A lot of them with big mortgages, just to keep them going. And it was more so, I came up with a suggestion, why don't we feed the senior citizens in the area only on a Sunday and, you know, try and get them, that someone's checking in on them as well to make sure they were going to be okay.
Yes.
So we rallied around a few of the staff and one or two of the chefs and they all were on for it big time.
Yeah, we got now, in fairness, Aidan Ryan at the time, community guard there now in Drogheda, he came up with, got us names of people, so he did, which is all in the area. Superintendent Andrew Waters, he helped us deliver our stuff. So we put meals out for about 60, I think it was about 60, 65 people, it depend. Every Sunday, they send two squad cars down with four guards to take. We'd have it all parcelled up.
Mm-hmm.
They'd take them away, and plus we were doing takeaways from outside the door with the table.
Yes.
And it was, and we done that, we got back, opened up again. It was great. When outside dining started, we filled the whole car park, the front of the place with our keys. I seen it raining, but you know what? We're actually busier outside.
But you know, you had to react to a situation and you did magnificently. And I want to say to you, I know some of those 65 people that you looked after. And do you know something today? They are so grateful to you still. They talk about what you did for them. You know, and I want to say that. I want to acknowledge that here today.
Yeah.
Those people, you know, what you did for them, you'll never know what that meant to them. I'm just saying that to you.
Oh, yeah, I know. We actually do, because we found, like, from the feedback from it was from the local community, it was great. We get great support from them.
Yes.
It was fantastic.
Yes, fantastic. You do. Good Friday is tomorrow.
Yeah.
2018 was the first year it opened up.
Yes.
Talk to me about Good Friday and the change in Good Friday and having a full day as normal.
Look, we actually thought the first Good Friday was open, say, in 18. We said, well, there'll be nobody around, no one's going to come in. But it was actually the total opposite. Place was just as busy as an ordinary Friday. It's I know it's crazy, but it's there.
It was a good change, wasn't it? Like, really,
it was a fantastic change, without a doubt. There was people coming home from Easter and all that and holidays, you know, people from abroad and
tourists.
All that. Tourists going around, people even say maybe in motor homes and all that. No one for them to pull in, couldn't get anything to eat anywhere. It's just crazy. Crazy
stuff altogether. Yeah. But look, it's history now and we're away. What about this, you know, proposed changes in opening hours, all this late night stuff for bars? Have you a view on that?
Look, to be honest, I think we're open late enough. That's my total honest opinion, to be quite honest.
I don't think
anybody wants a late opening. Maybe I'm wrong. Look, I drive around at the moment, Jerry, you can see so many places even during the week that they're even closed, you know what I mean? And some of them's only open maybe 5 days, one or seven days in it.
Yes.
Do you need 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
No, and I think that's a fair point. I've seen it debated on TV in recent nights as well, and there's a fair view about that as well, even from a nightclub point of view, because there's less and less of them in the country. But look, it is where it is. John, the pint's going up again. How much is it going up in the Valley Inn? We're dying to know. I was at my Wednesday club last night. How much is it going to go up in the Valley Inn? What do you think?
It's probably going to go up 10 cents, Jerry, but tell you the truth. You know, that's probably what is going to happen. Because I think I didn't actually look that much this week because it's been kind of busy. But I think it's something like 6 cents probably plus VAT. And then when you put your other costs onto it, 10 is probably only just going to leave it as a level out. And that's...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, people don't probably realise that, but that is... Try and keep your margins.
Yeah,
as
and you have to make money. And you know, we all know, if you don't have to tell any of us, if you have to fuel your car, we saw where it went with electricity, gas, all those inputs, the raw materials you have to buy to produce the food, your labour costs.
Yeah. Everything has gone up.
It's massive.
Everything's gone up. Yes. Like energy and all that is. Like I thought, probably over a year ago, which I would have thought was electricity was going to be one of the biggest things that's going to kind of put our smoke out. Now, in fairness, it's not too bad, and it's not even too bad now at the moment. I know it's dropped back down massively. We done a major investment. We put in over 100 solar panels into place here last year. Definitely, we know from the business point of view that the payback is probably only going to be about 4 years, and it's going to pay back for itself. So,
yes,
there is. Look, all is good. All is good.
But this, Jackie, you know, as a couple and your family, you know, this is a 7-day, 365-day in a year commitment. 66 in a leap year this year, another day. But you know what I'm saying? And I know, I hear what you said a few moments ago. The staff are wonderful and everything like that. But ultimately, the responsibility is on the shoulders of the people that I'm talking to now, the owners of this place. It's a huge responsibility, isn't it?
Big time, yes, yeah. Look, you just get used to it and you get on with it. We could be at home, something could break, John would have to get up here and get it sorted out straight away, you know, so you have to do it.
We're probably in the position at the moment, we've most of the ones here is working, I know 39 hour a week is your normal working week.
Yeah.
We probably have a lot of them working here, they're probably doing around 42 or 3, which is probably, for the hospitality, it's not that bad. We've enough of staff to keep it. Our idea is that they have to have time off. So if you keep them on the smaller hours, keep them in around a bit, your average working week, you'll hold on to staff. And believe it or not, it's paid off for us in the last 10 years, because that's the way we kind of try to run it, you know?
What do you get back from this? I know it's a living for you, but what I know, I look at the two of you and I've seen you operating here. You have a love for this business. You have a passion for it.
It's not a job to me, Jerry, because I love it. I mean, it gives me a buzz. It just gives me a major buzz, to be quite honest with you. I love it. Like, and when you see the place full and everyone kind of going happy, as Jackie was saying to me, if someone comes in the door, even if I'm booked out, I hate to say no. I just say, come on, I'll get you table somewhere. I don't care. Sit somewhere, but we will get you in. Do you know what I mean?
I experienced it. You looked after me recently because myself and Miriam came down and I looked That's at right, the car and said, oh, mother of God. And I said, will we drive on? No, I said, we'll go in and just try it. And I remember you saying to me, you were full. And the next thing, one of your staff came and said, we've just got word there's a table for two up there and we were in. And That's I really appreciated that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like it's, we do. We try to facilitate. We hate turning anyone away, of course. But sometimes it does happen. To happen, you know, especially Sundays now is hectic, you know, and bookings is a big thing now, which at the beginning wasn't her telephone at all, you know. Yes. But it's good, it's good.
Oh, walk-ins are always welcome too.
You kept walking. Well, are you listening?
Keep going. I'll get you somewhere.
There's no turning away for sure. But it is that, I have to say. You know, I was talking to you there before we came on. I know, listening to people and moving about socially, you're word, the word of mouth about the Valley Inn, I have never heard anybody say, but they didn't just love the place and give you a great recommendation. That's important is that?
It's up. Word of mouth is a major thing. Absolutely, totally a major. It's very, very important. And I mean, we were probably very, very lucky there for the last probably 2 years. LMFM ran it was like a competition for. It was the best awards thing in the Loudmead area.
Absolutely.
And we're lucky enough that we won that in as best restaurant.
Yes.
The Drogheda the Chambers of District.
They won the big winners there.
Here in 23. Yeah. 23 gone. We won best restaurant and that. And all them things are. And that's people voting for you to push you up there. So
I'm just looking at the messages coming in here on the screen and there's loads of them for you. Congratulations to John and Jackie and the staff. You're simply the best as a listener there. Another one from John. What a marvellous place, Jerry. They should be so proud of the business that they've built up at the Valley Inn. Another one there. Keep it local, says Bridie and Casey there. It's absolutely wonderful place to visit at any stage. The food, the staff. Couldn't say enough about it, Jerry. That comes in. And there's more. Look at them all down along there. That's just a sample of what people think of you.
That's great.
You know, it's great to hear that, Jerry. It's absolutely fantastic.
It's
great to hear
On your menus, I have to say, you have a wonderful choice. And we've been having great crack with the listeners this week about the menus and what you have on the menu as well. Consistency, standard there. Is that the key to success
as
well?
Consistency is the whole thing. And we're very, very lucky. We have 9 full-time chefs here. We have definitely, most of them is in there. Like, we have at least 3 of them that stay with me nearly since I came here. Some of the rest of them could be here maybe 7 years, you know what I mean, 8 years. They're all fairly well switched in.
They know what it is.
Yeah, they're all. We've a great team in the kitchen, I have to say, a fantastic team in the kitchen.
100% for the Valley Inn. There's another one there. They're flying in at the moment. If you want to send good wishes to John and Jackie, 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. And don't forget, we're giving away a €100 voucher for the Valley Inn and a €250 voucher for the Sleeve Russell Hotel, given to us by John and Jackie to celebrate their 10 years in business here in Malera. Do you ever have any trouble with the pronunciation? Like, we all know it as Malera, but when we had, by the way, on Late Lunch, we did miss pronunciations on the show last year, and Mullary was one of them. When you hand that to people, they look at it, Mullary.
Mullary, as I said, I remember talking to you one time before, Jerry, on the show. Peter Mulholland said to me one day here, he said, what did I tell you? He said, me daddy said was born and reared just directly right beside the pub. And he said, if he heard somebody, Malera or Mullary, if he heard somebody called it Mullary, he said, he probably turned his grave. That's the word he said. It's Malera.
Malera, and that's always been and always absolutely will be. Well, look, thank you so much for inviting us here today to celebrate your 10th birthday. We really do appreciate it. And we're going to talk to you again later on in the show.
Thanks for
And I know you're busy here. Look at all those people and the tables are hopping here at the moment. Yes, Late Lunch live from the Valley Inn, and we've been having a chat there with the owners John and Jackie O'Connell. Short break, back with you in a moment. Late Lunch live from the Valley Inn Malera this afternoon, where they're celebrating their 10th birthday, and the place, it always looks magnificent. It always is spick and span clean. The balloons are everywhere, the decorations. Give them a shout over the Easter weekend and the celebrations going on for a number of weeks from this time forward to the actual date of the 10th anniversary. I want to say to John and Jackie that we've got a lovely message in from from your sister Kathleen and Michael to say congratulations to John, Jackie and all the staff at the Valley Inn on 10 wonderful years. Thank you indeed for that lovely message. Mag's Margaret Hannerty is in the house here this afternoon. She's a regular at the Valley Inn and she's here this afternoon with our granddaughters Kaylee, Emma and Grace, and they're having a wonderful time, and I told her we'd give them a shout out. Mag's a great listener to Late Lunch on LMFM Radio. I met her a little earlier on there. I'm back in the Knoll with Nikki Kyle and I'm in the tunnel with her, and it is late March, of course, but Nikki, I'm saying this tongue in cheek, will we talk about growing rice today?
I think just about, Jerry. I think it's just dreadful. I mean, you've never seen it as wet here.
Never.
There's 6 inches of water at the bottom of the polytunnel and it's coming up from the groundwater all the time, you know, and it's a good job we've actually got sort of slightly raised beds, because otherwise we couldn't grow anything.
I haven't put my potatoes into, I have one large outside bed and they're sprouting merrily inside, but I've held back. I normally put them in round Patrick's Day, but the ground is shocking. Am I right to wait?
Put them into pots, Jerry. I've been doing that for years because I found if they go into cold, wet ground, they sit there being miserable, the slugs eat them, they might rot, and that's it. You'll see in the other tunnel, I've got all of my potatoes now are in pots. And that way, because I grow so many varieties which I can't buy anymore, which I save my own tubers from, it means I definitely have the seed. And even a small 2 litre pot will produce enough potatoes in sort of 10 to 12 weeks for one or two meals. Get them into pots now. And that means they're not in cold, wet ground, sitting there for weeks doing nothing, which the last couple of years I've heard people complaining about all the time. Oh, the potatoes aren't showing. Oh, and then they'll get frosted. And yeah, put them into pots. You do it with bedding plants. Why can't you do it with potatoes? People just have this thing that things have to be done the way they were always done. Well, you know, Jerry, I've never done things the conventional way. I'm always experimenting. I'm always trying new things. And that's a way I've found to grow potatoes here. And you get a really good crop, whether you have them still in pots or whether you plant them out in the ground at the end of April or May before blight hits.
So you can transfer them then from the pots into the ground?
As long as they have a nice root ball so that it doesn't fall apart. I mean, some potatoes actually don't even mind if they do fall apart. They still grow. But most potatoes are a bit fussy. You know, so they will actually go on and grow on, and just like a bedding plant. But, you know, and you can earth them up the same as other potatoes. Just look after them. If they go out, harden them off just like a bedding plant when they're in the pots, when it gets a little bit milder. And then cover them with fleece or something when they go out, if frost is forecast. And they'll be perfect.
Now, you have a bed of potatoes here in this tunnel. And you tell me it's by accident. What variety is this?
That is actually a variety called Blau Analiese. Now, I've grown it for about 5 or 6 years now. I originally got it in Fruit Hill Farm. As you know, I love purple potatoes because they have so many health benefits. They lower your blood pressure, they're full of polyphenols, they're incredibly healthy for you. And I've mentioned this potato to a couple of people over the years because it is quite a weed, actually. It's quite hard to get rid of because you can't see the tiny black tubers in the ground when you're sort of digging over the ground. And I mentioned it to a garden journalist who shall remain nameless last year in Selbridge, in the garden centre in Selbridge. And I said, oh, do you know that potato? Oh, yes, she said, I've heard about that one. I thought, oh, dear. She said, but people just don't like it because of that, but it's ridiculous because it's such a great potato. Yeah. I've seen it get blight, but you know, it gets it, but it gets over it. It's unbelievable. It's so healthy.
Well, they're flying along here and they're well up, and in fact they're going to throw some flower there. Broad beans with flowers on them?
Yeah, beans are flowering now. They actually want stringing up. I've had this ghastly virus for a while, so I haven't been doing very much, but what I'm concentrating on, I'm not being tidy because I can't eat tidy. I can eat food, and I'm growing food, and then I can worry about the tidiness and everything else afterwards.
And the peas, the delicate, is that delicate over there?
It is, and that's a wonderful pea, isn't it? So we're busy making space in the freezer now to freeze a lot of those, because that freezes really well, actually, in the pods, all the pods podded, and eat the pods separately, you know. That's a lovely sugar pea.
Lots of salad crops. You have your salad leaves here, loads of them up. You are one that says, you should eat a green salad every day of your life.
Absolutely. And the gut health scientists are all saying that now, that green foods are the healthiest thing you can eat for your gut microbiome. You know, and there's lots of different coloured salads. You see that lovely red cos lettuce up there? And it's called red cos. It's a heritage. It's an heirloom vegetable. It's full of, again, full of very healthy phytonutrients, polyphenols. And it's sitting next to watercress there. And then I have Mitsuna, which I've allowed to flower, sitting next to it, because it's important to me to grow food for pollinators as well as food for me. And that way they come and pollinate the flowers. You know, there's been loads of bees and flies in here over the last couple of weeks on mild days, and they pollinate them, and then I collect the seed and I can save the seed, and then I grow that again myself. So I don't have to buy seed. So actually they're saving me a lot of money as well.
You have chard, I see here, and also, look at those beautiful leeks over there.
Those actually are baby leeks that didn't get planted out last year, and I just stuck them in a tub.
They're flying.
They were growing, and I thought, well, what the hell, put them in. And they're actually growing really, really well. It's one called Blue Green Husky, and it's a lovely leek. And, you know, even at the worst thing, the one on the right there you can see is a different variety, and that's going to make lovely flowers for the bees, again, that I can save seed from. Then I've got kale here.
Ragged Jack kale?
No, it's not Ragged Jack, actually. It's, again, it's a German variety. It's called palm kale. Very, very old variety that's been grown in Germany for about 300 years. And it's much sweeter than most kales. Mm. Has a lovely flavour. I must give you some later in the year, actually. Has a really nice flavour, and we've been eating loads of it.
For somebody who's been incapacitated for a while, you are a wonder woman. I look up at the end of the tunnel here, you lost one of your lovely peach trees.
I did, sadly, because the eucalyptus I planted up on the bank there about 15 years ago to shelter us from next door's pesticide sprays and the wind, because that's the sort of north bank, you know, north of the polytunnels. The roots of that came out and it actually killed the peach tree. Which is terribly sad. I mean, I didn't know what peach that was because I got it, two peaches for a fiver each from Lidl about 15, 16 years ago. And that one was meant to be a nectarine, but it turned out to be a lovely white-skinned peach and it was delicious. But never mind, I still have the other one, and my son helped me to do a big job on that in January, actually, before I went into hospital to have this ankle job done. And my daughter had actually spent a whole day pulling all the brambles out of it that had grown in it. And then we were able to see where we were and we pruned it. And now, actually, if you look at it, we took all the old wood out. There's actually green shoots coming up from lower down the stem, even on the trunk. And that's the wonderful thing about peaches. They will do that. And when it has a crop, it's going to have quite a big crop by the looks of it.
The blossom on it already.
It's actually, they've turned dark pink. And I don't think there is one peach blossom that wasn't pollinated. Mm. So they've turned dark pink, which means they're all going to produce fruit. And when the fruit hangs down, it'll bring the branches down. Mm. And then the green shoots further down the stem will actually shoot up even more. And as soon as I'm, again, very unconventional about the way I prune peaches, because I don't do it by the book. I do it when it suits me. When I've picked the fruit, I shall immediately prune back all of the branches to nice green shoots coming out. And those green shoots will produce next year's fruit because they fruit best on young wood. So the young green shoots that grow out from a peach this year will produce fruit next year.
Not bad for a fiver from Lidl, I have to say, after all these years.
Those peaches, or that one now, they both produced over 200 peaches each every year. And an organic peach in the farmer's market is a euro.
It's been a great investment. We've moved to the second tunnel with Nikki Kyle in the Knoll today. And my, oh my, you have such an array of food growing here. Potatoes again. Let's talk about those first.
Well, those there are Apache, which is my lovely red and white potato, which I've had for years. Again, very early potato. Actually, I've got a present here for you, Jerry. I've got one of those and one of the Mayan Gold, a little. You pot them into bigger pots and they'll be grand. But I've got over 100 pots of potatoes here, of various different varieties. Most of them are purple varieties, again, which I like for the health reasons and for the flavour. You know, they're absolutely gorgeous. The strawberries I potted up yesterday, actually, Albion. Runners from that growing on. I'm trialling four different varieties of garlic this year. It's impossible to get garlic at this time of year. Mm. And that Chinese garlic, even though it says it's organic, I'm not happy about it because they've got a lot of heavy metals in Chinese soils, you know, and I would much prefer not to buy Chinese garlic. So I either buy them from Dennis Healy at the farmer's market now or somewhere else that isn't selling those. Actually, Nolan's in Clontarf. A few places are getting garlic, which isn't Chinese. But I'd much rather have my own, but I'd actually run out. But I've got four different varieties here, which I'm trying to see which has the best flavour. Because I think garlic's got to be really strong. If it doesn't blow your head off, it's useless. So I've got loads of, as you can see, these are a blue potato, salad potato. That is Mayan Gold, which I've had for, oh gosh, about 20 years now. My daughter smuggled the seed over years ago, but I mean, it has been available here. Fruit Hill Farm had it a couple of years ago, but it's a wonderful yellow fleshed salad potato, and it's actually very early and it cooks in half the time of other potatoes. So it actually saves energy as well. It's an amazing potato.
You have wonderful celery in pots here too.
Oh, yeah, I love celery. I've got to have celery all year round for cooking. I often eat my breakfast walking around here. I snap off a stem of celery and eat it as I'm walking around. But again, that's a variety called Tall Green Utah. Now, Fruit Hill Farm have that, and you could still actually sow it now. Sow it on the surface of a pot. Don't cover it. Just keep it sort of damp. It likes light to germinate. So you could put a little bit of vermiculite very lightly on top so it can anchor itself. But otherwise, and keep it not too warm to germinate. It's around 60, 65. That will crop, I mean, for almost a year. You know, if you keep it going, keep it well watered, keep it in a moist position. I grow it over the winter in the ground. But it's also very good in pots as long as you keep it well watered because it's a bog plant, basically. It needs moisture.
When we talk here and I visit you, you have two wonderful tunnels and you have the protection from the Irish weather. And as we talk here today, listen to that outside. It's blown a gale, it's raining, it's cold. Protection is more or less nearly needed now in Ireland with the way the climate has gone.
It will be from now on, I think. And I want to talk to somebody about actually making low tunnels that could be varied more. The only thing is they might be expensive. But you know what? If you buy a medium-sized polytunnel, say sort of 8 by 12 or something like that, the outlay on that, I don't know what it is, couple 1,500? How much was your one?
Yeah, around about 1,500.
Yeah. If you can't grow enough veg to cover the price of that in a year, then you don't deserve a polytunnel. But you know what? If you divide that up and you think, well, OK, 20 euros a week, for God's sake, if I can't save 20 euros a week on the household veg bill by growing easy things, not difficult things. I mean, you saw the spinach beet in the other tunnel. Perpetual spinach beet is one of the best veg you could grow. And tiny little bags of pathetic spinach in the supermarket will cost you about 3 euros. And you need about 3 of them to feed a family, which is ridiculous. I mean, you only need to grow a couple of things and you'll save a massive amount on your veg bill and you will pay for a polytunnel. And then you won't even need a holiday because you can sit out here in the sun, you can enjoy the birds singing, and usually I'm being followed by 3 or 4 robins as well. It's brilliant. You know, there's birds in here, there's bees in here, there's flowers. I'm dry and I come and sit in the sun and it's absolutely wonderful.
Oh, there's nothing like it. There really isn't. Now, back to this time of year as we head to late March and into the start of April. This really is the time to sow.
Yeah, you can sow pretty much anything. But, you know, if you don't have a protected space, if you don't even have a warm mat or a big propagator in your tunnel or greenhouse, don't sow cucumbers and courgettes until the middle of the month because they don't like to be checked. Now, tomatoes will pretty put up with an awful lot of poor treatment, but cucumbers and courgettes and that family won't. They need to keep moving all the time. They don't like to be pot bound. So sow them in the middle of the month and then they'll really come on because conditions are going to actually be much warmer and it's night warmth that's important. You know, I don't bother with too much heat here. I don't heat anything apart from the heated mat on the staging in the polytunnel. It's just kept at about 50 degrees or 10 Fahrenheit or 10 degrees centigrade. And that's not a lot. It's very little. But actually, that's all tomatoes need at the root to keep them growing, as long as you keep the frost off the tops and protect those.
French bean, cobra and beans in general. What about those now?
I probably won't sow mine until the end of April, to be honest. That bed you saw that's bare in the other tunnel is actually there for the early potatoes. Now, in 8 weeks, you see all of these and the Apache, the Fleur Bleu and Mayan Gold, they'll be planted out into that bed and they'll be out of there because they've already had 6 or 7 weeks of growing. They'll be out of there in about 8 weeks. Mm. So then I'll plant the beans and it'll go on from there, you know.
It's a complete cycle. Yeah, just back to the tomatoes. When you take them from the warm bench and you put them into the beds, do they need a little acclimatisation, or can you just take them, say, when the weather hopefully picks up in April and put them straight into either the pots or the bed itself?
Well, my view is that people plant their tomatoes out far too early. On social media, I see so many poor blue tomatoes because they're blue with cold. You don't need to do that. Take them off the warm bench if you don't have space. But, you know, leave them on there if you can. Or just group them together in pots. Pot them on. Don't be mean about it. Don't plant them out from mean little pots into the cold ground and expect them to do well. They're not going to. Just look after them. And, you know, if you keep them all together in slightly larger pots, you can cover them very easily then if we do get cold nights. I never, ever, ever plant my tomatoes out until the middle of May. I never have done, because I've always, and particularly here, because, you know, you can watch the weather forecast, and frankly, the weather forecast is a complete waste of time these days. You have to go by ear, play it by ear yourself, because I can guarantee that my tunnel here will be at least 2 degrees colder than it says on the forecast. You've just got to play it by ear and always err on the side of caution. Always have fleece ready. As you can see, there's piles of fleece everywhere, you know, and it's ready there to just put out over everything.
Lots of food for thought there from Nikki. And if you want to check out her blog, it's nikkikylegardening.com. There's loads of information there. It's a mine of information. It's great to visit you again. It really is. I want to wish you continued recovery, because you've gone through a very difficult time.
Well, between the ankle and then when I was in hospital having the ankle dealt with, I picked up this nasty virus which is going around. A lot of people have it, and people half my age are taking 8 or 9 weeks to recover. And you've just got to be sensible. Just eat lots of plenty of healthy food. Just rest and don't do too much. I mean, basically, I'm not tidying. As I said before, I can't eat tidy, but I can eat food. You know, so I'm sowing things. I'm pottering about in pots. I'm doing stuff which means I'm going to have lots of healthy food to eat. And that's the most important thing.
It's always a pleasure to be here. It gives me renewed vigour to go back to my own little tunnel and greenhouse and get cracking as well. And everybody listening to us today, thank you so much for inviting me up again at the end of March this year. Happy Easter to you, happy gardening, and we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, well, happy Easter and happy gardening to everybody, and the best of luck for the growing year.
Thank you, Nikki Kyle.
You're welcome, Jerry.
Late Lunch Live from the Valley Inn, celebrating 10 years in business. Stand by your phones. We're going to make that first phone call for the €100 voucher for the Valley Inn. So if your phone rings now, please do answer and say hello to me. The place is hopping here, I have to say, this afternoon. People in and out and saying hello to us. And I have some people to play requests for, which I will do in a moment. Let's hope this phone rings. I'm just waiting to hear it in my cans here, and as soon as I do, hopefully they will answer and say hello and be in line to win this €100 voucher from the Valley Inn. Here we go. Are we ringing? Have we got somebody? Yes, it's ringing. The phone is ringing. Fantastic. Come on. Answer. I have €100 for the Valley Inn to give away to you. Pick up the phone. Come on.
Hello.
Is that Siobhan?
Speaking.
Siobhan Gray and Navin this afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Do you know who this is?
Jerry.
Ah, good on you. I think I'll give you the prize already. I'm not going to even ask the question. You got it right. Hi, Siobhan. Well, you entered a competition for the Valley Inn. We're here today live, celebrating 10 years. You know the format. So let's do the question first. So look, I've had a look at the Valley Inn a la carte menu, the starters for you, okay? I'm going to give you 3 starter dishes. There is one of them on the Valley Inn menu. If you get that one right, you win the €100. You understand?
Okay.
Here we go. So have a listen. There's one of these on the menu here. 2 of them aren't. Now listen carefully. I will say this only once. Sesame prawn toast. Frito miso. Or classic Caesar salad. Which is it?
Classic Caesar salad.
Yay! You've won the €100 voucher. There you go. Thank God. I'm sweating. I'm in beads of sweat here. I was just hoping you'd get it. You've won the voucher for the Valley Inn.
Thank you.
There you go. Have you ever been here before?
No, and we were only in the car with my girls, and we were saying, God, we must go and visit it, because we hear all about it on LMFM, but we've never been.
Well, you are in for a treat, because Jackie and John and all the crew here will welcome you with open arms, look after you, and honestly, you'll be waxing lyrical when you come here. Who's your girls? Who was in the car with you?
Layla and Charlotte.
Well, well done, Layla and Charlotte, and well done to Mammy too. There you are. Nice little gift on the cusp of Easter.
That's lovely. Thanks a million. That's brilliant. We're delighted.
I'm sure you are. Enjoy it and do visit them. They'll be delighted to see you. Well done, Siobhan, Gray and Navin. You're a first winner at the Valley Inn this afternoon. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye. 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 I have to say hello to Noel Rooney. Noel Rooney's in the house. Murph is here today, along with Siobhan Rooney and all the Rooneys. They're in the Valley Inn having a lovely lunch at the moment. And I've just been talking to a lovely young lady. Her name is Lois McCluskey. She's from Monaster Boyce. She goes to Harestown National School. She plays for Boyne Rugby Club. Oh, great club they are. And she's here today. She has been here. They're just on their way. They're in the car listening with her mam Emma, Auntie Roisin, and her cousin Daniel John. Lovely to meet you this afternoon. I know you had a lovely lunch here in the Valley Inn. Now, we have another guest for you to meet on the show. He lives a stone's throw from the place here. He's the man behind Mull Waste, Peter Mulholland. Welcome to Late Lunch. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Jerry.
Well, you do live very close to the Valley Inn.
Just
here.
Next door.
Next
Jerry.
Door. Yeah. Your next door neighbour.
Next door neighbour, yeah.
What does this place mean to you and the community here?
It means an awful lot. And the food is good and the crack's good. And the John and Jackie and our staff is all very friendly. So it means an awful lot to the community. And they have done it. And it's hard to believe it that they're here 10 years. We went round that quick, you know. And it's they're brilliant. It's a very well run show, I have to say. Brilliant.
And, you know, they've been, I was talking to them earlier on, and I acknowledge this, and I know you will too, especially during the pandemic, the support that they gave to vulnerable people was incredible.
Unbelievable. The senior citizens of the parish got a lunch every Sunday, all during COVID, delivered to the door, which meant so much to them. Because they weren't getting out or about or seeing nobody or that. And it was so thoughtful of John and Jackie and the staff to do what they've done. It was unbelievable. You know.
I just never figured. You see, we were sitting here when you come in the main doors. Yeah. And if you go up to your right there, look at the extent of the premises. I've just been in pulling a pint of Guinness. Next door, here behind us. I never realised there was so much out here on the other side, Peter.
It is, yeah. No, it's a very big bar, and it's he has loads of things going on, with music and all that, at the weekends, and it's a great bar. It's a bar you'll always have a bit of cracking.
Yes.
Well supported by the locals, for reasons being that he's a great man and they run a great show, you know.
Yeah.
So, and you'd always have a bit of crack in it. You'll always meet someone to have a chat and a bit of crack in it, you know. Yeah.
And it's here for the community. You know, besides the lovely hospitality, the food, the drink, etc., if they help the community as well, make the place available if needs be.
Oh, yes. And they've done so this year in particular, they've done an old folks party for the senior citizens. And there was a massive crowd up there, and what they've done for them was just unbelievable.
Mm.
Full meal and music provided, and give them a present, and it's just unreal what they're doing for the public, you know. Unbelievable.
You're a very healthy looking man, and you're fed here quite regular. So tell me this, Peter.
Best beef.
What? Sure, you answered already. I didn't even ask the question. I was going to ask him. You love the bit of beef, do you?
Yeah. You know the look of me.
but you can't beat it. A nice piece of Irish beef, you know what I mean?
It
really is fantastic. Yeah. But the selection on the menu, for all tastes, I mean, you have the seafood there, chicken, beef, you name it, whatever, it's on the menu.
There is a brilliant menu.
Yeah.
A brilliant menu, you know. And they're coming from far and wide, I have to say.
That is the thing.
The time was, I'd come in here and I'd nearly know everybody.
Yes.
And come in here now, it'd be times and you'd know nobody.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, they're coming a long distance here, so it's just great to see.
It is wonderful to see. What about, come back to this again, I did mention it to John and Jackie, you living here and been here all your life. Malera, the name Malera, Mullery. I don't want to say that again because it's sarcastic.
Well,
we had
a bit of crashing with the Mullery end of it. The old boys in across the road there in the graveyard, there's some of them over there, including my own parents and my grandparents. They just turned the grave, they had it called Mullery. Never was heard telephones Mullery. It was always malaria, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just good to emphasise that again here as we're here this afternoon. 1906 is on the date on the premises here, but it goes back much further, doesn't it? That this place was a place of hospitality.
Yes, it was. It has come back a long. McDonald's were here at probably at the very beginning, and there was a lot of people here since, you know, in the last number of years. Like, and no, it was always a great hurdle, a well-known spot.
Yes.
You know, and it was this here, Finnegan's from, they were over from Manalty, they came here in 1947. And it was what they built on, that lounge out the back.
Yes.
And it was one of the first singing lounges in County Louth. Yeah, the old, my grandfather was telling me this, and they came from all over, Drogheda and Dock and everywhere, to music, to be music here at the weekends, you know. And it was always well known, Malena.
Yes.
You know?
Can I tell you a little story about a family called McMenamin? When I was in short pants, and that, as I say again, wasn't today or yesterday, in the Christian Brothers School in Sunday's Gate in Drogheda, a guy called McMenamin arrived into the school from America. He was a Yank.
Yes.
And you can only imagine being dropped in to the CBS in Drogheda, you know, back then in the 70s. But the McMenamin family had this place for a little while too.
Yeah,
do you remember that family?
Yeah, I do remember them. They were here for a short... They weren't here that long. For probably a few years they were here, you know. But I remember the McMenamins here.
Yes.
You know. And they were... There was a good few here now back the years, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a great stand.
It's in very good hands now.
It's
Will we finish off by saying that again?
Yes, it's in great hands.
You better not say that in Elsa, your beef could be in trouble. The O'Connells are at your back there. So
no, they're very, very decent people, and I want to wish them the best of luck.
Ah, they're great. They're great.
Great. Brilliant. And brilliant to the community.
Did you see me pint of Guinness I filled in there? Did I do well, Peter?
Done
come
well,
on. Give me a bit of credit in that.
When you retire from this job, you can.
There's a barman's job here for me, isn't there? Anyways, look at, and I just want to mention your business is Mull Waste as well, just to mention that. You have your own business as well, and it's going well for you?
Going well, good on you.
Listen, it's great to meet you here today. You've been one of the locals, and thank you for joining us in Late Lunch, Peter.
Right, I wish them the best, and I want to congratulate them again.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, Jerry.
All
say
here, here to that.
Thank you,
Peter, for
joining me
on the show. Late Lunch live from the Valley in Malera. We've given away €100 already for the Valley in itself. We have a massive prize to give away before the end. We have a €250 voucher for the Sleeve Russell Hotel to celebrate their 10th birthday here, and that'll be going to one of you out there listening today before we finish the show. Up next on Late Lunch, it's one of our regulars, he's standing by, the virtuoso of vino, Rick Cronje is with us next. It's buzzing at the Valley Inn. 10 years they're here, and we're here this afternoon with Late Lunch Live. I have to tell you, the messages coming in for John and Jackie. I'll just, again, this is only a flavour of what's coming to us on 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp and text. Congratulations to John and Jackie and all the staff at the Valley Inn, from David and Maura McHugh. Mary Sharkey in Kilcairn's been on to say, 10th anniversary, can't believe it. Best wishes to John and Jackie. What a wonderful place it is, Jerry. Grace Agnew's been in touch with us to thank Amy, Jenny and Peter for all the lovely Sunday breakfast. Brilliant staff. What a wonderful place. And on they go and so on. Doreen McCabe's in the house here this afternoon from RD. She's been up to say hello to me. Hi, Doreen. Great to meet you on the show this afternoon. And Donald Keeley, one of the biggest Drogheda United fans in the country, came up and said hello as well. He says, up the Drogs, big game coming up with Pats tomorrow night in Weavers Park. One of our regulars is with us. And quite strange setting, really. Rick Cronje, welcome back to Late Lunch.
Thanks very much, Jerry. Good to be here.
It's great to have you with us on this very, very special afternoon. Well, Rick, you've caught me with your choices today, because it's the north of Spain for the red and white wine today.
Yes.
Rioja.
Yes.
And a white wine from Rioja. Rick.
Yes, rather unusual, isn't it?
It is, for sure.
Very unusual. And of course, as we're going to talk about it, 875 metres up, that's very high, Jerry. Now, in Spain, that would be high. In the Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, that wouldn't be unusual.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the height is important, is it, that it's cultivated at? Why is that crucial?
Well, believe it or not, there's two reasons. And one reason that's becoming more and more is, climate change, Jerry. Temperatures increasing. They're looking for, we have to go a bit higher now. The other thing about height in particular is that it increases, you know, the fruitiness and the quality of the grapes. And interestingly, for every 300 meters you go, or 350 meters, the UV ray increases by 10 to 12%. And for wine, that's
crucial.
Brilliant.
There you go.
Crucial.
So the higher it is, the better it is. We want to say a big thank you, and I'd be remiss of me not to mention, because he's a great supporter of this wine feature on Late Lunch. Alan McGuinness from McGuinness Wines on the Ramparts in Dundalk has supplied the white and the red wine today. He's a great guy, isn't he?
Fantastic.
Yes.
Really knowledgeable, independent, supplier. Absolutely. Can't go wrong. If you're looking for wines, Alan's the man that'll direct you, especially for this weekend being what it is, Jerry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the wines today, they're a matching pair from where?
Yeah, they've, as we said, from Rioja, northern Spain, and the estate is El Coto Winery.
El Coto, yes.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's where they come from. Explain the DOC, because the DOC is crucial with these wines today. And just remind our listeners again what DOC is.
Yeah, the DOC Rioja is just the denominación de origen. In other words, the origin of it is guaranteed with it. So when you see DOC Rioja, it's guaranteed it's from there. You'll also see on the back of the bottle, there's a number and a label there.
Yes.
So that is your guarantee that you're getting the right thing, and of course the price you pay for it.
Yes.
And that's why we talk about the four categories there, and they'll come at different prices because there's different techniques involved in it.
Yes. So you have Joven for a young wine.
Yes, Joven would be a very young wine, and it's generally within a year or two, it'll be on the market for you, or the same year. Even.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the next one is Crianza, which is at least a year, is it?
Yes, Crianza, it's 1 year. It has to be aged in oak and another year in the bottle. So 2 years after harvest before it can be released on the market. And we have a Crianza
with
today.
Us today. That's important to say.
Absolutely.
Then you have Reserva and Gran Reserva. I'd just explain those two as well.
Yeah, the Reserva, again, it's at least 1 year in oak and another 2 years in the bottle. So it'd be 3 years before it can be released. Then your Gran Reserva, which is top of the range, it's 2 years in oak, 2 years in the bottle, and then you can release it.
Yes.
But obviously, the higher up you go, the more you're going to pay for it.
Yes.
Because it's, it's kept that much longer and the process is involved in it. So, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about our white wine today. And again, just tell our listeners what you have.
Yeah, we have, it's a Chardonnay 100%, 2021. Again, from El Coto, both wines are. And it's called 875M for meters. So just very bold letters there. Beautiful bottle, Jerry, 100% Chardonnay. And really impressed with it.
Will you put a drop into a glass
Of course.
Jackie's sitting up at the bar. Will you taste this wine? Will you taste this wine? You don't. John, come on. John. Jackie doesn't drink, no? Okay, not what. Sit in there. John O'Connell, come over. John. Your wife has passed the responsibility to yourself today. So
there
look at
go,
it. This is a Chardonnay from the Rioja region, northern Spain. Pale yellow with a hint of green. Tropical fruits, Rick, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
What do you make, John?
It tastes like more.
Ah,
it's gorgeous.
Very good, John. Very I don't good. Think I've ever heard it described. It tastes like more. John, and Rick says about that as an aperitif to drink on its own. Yes?
Yes, nice. Nice and refreshing.
Yeah.
Lovely. Just sit back and enjoy.
And Rick was looking at your menu, and he would pair with what on John's menu.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's the fish of the day.
Yes.
It'll go beautifully with it.
That.
And just as an aperitif, just to enjoy.
Yes.
It'd be absolutely brilliant.
Mm.
Definitely. And there's some starters there as well that I think
that it would match with perfectly.
Absolutely. Even the vegan dish there, or vegetarian, sorry.
Yes.
Brilliant
with that as well.
It will go with it, with chicken.
but John says a glass wouldn't be enough for John there at all. No, and that's understandable.
Just want another one.
It's one of those wines, John, that by the second sip, third, it grows on you.
Yes.
It's not. And it's actually very, it's got a bit of wood on it. But not, you wouldn't even pick it up.
Okay.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for the day, we're going to keep it flowing anyway.
Yeah. Brilliant.
John, go nowhere because you've tasted the... We're going to talk about a red now because, and again, this comes from Alan McGuinness, McGuinness Wines on the Ramparts in Dundalk. What will that white set you back, Rick? How much are you for
about 15 euro.
Okay,
15
good
euro on... Oh, brilliant, Terry.
Yes,
brilliant.
And that's on special, is it, with Alan at the moment?
Go to Alan and he'll look after you.
Okay.
It really is.
Okay, now, what about the red, Rick? Rioja and red wine, of course.
Of course.
But there's a brilliant white. Listen, what am I saying? The white is absolutely brilliant. John O'Connell can't get enough of it here. Yeah. Let's go to the red. Talk to me about the red you have.
Well, the red is, of course, Tempranillo. 75% of Rioja is Tempranillo.
Yes.
And that area, of course, got, I think, something like 15,000 growers and 500, nearly 600 wineries. So Rioja is known for Tempranillo.
Yes.
But what we have is a Crianza, which means a year on wood, a year in the bottle.
Yes.
And it's a 2020. Now remember, we're Northern Hemisphere, Jerry. September is harvesting, so September 2020, this was harvested. So,
okay, nearly four years, you know, come this September.
Three and a half.
Three and a half,
yeah. So it's like me, Jerry. Don't age me by another 6 months. Let's just keep it.
Hang on to it.
Hang on to
those years. I know what you're saying, Rick. I'm with you all the way on this one.
But a really beautiful, I think it's one of...
Okay, well, John O'Connell is standing by there to do the tasting for us again. And again, I have to say, looking at it there in the glass, it's a lovely colour. It's not mad deep red.
It's just a nice
red hue to it. John, come on, tell us what you're thinking when you taste that there, will you please? You've been the man in the trade and the man that knows his wines, his spirits and everything else besides.
I'm just sitting here thinking, laying back in a big armchair with a big fire horn and a bottle just be beside.
We have the fire here now, right beside us if we need it. John, you like it? Do you like that
one?
Yeah,
I love red wine, don't you, John? It's actually a gorgeous wine.
It's lovely, and I think Jerry is Crianza because of the aging of it. To go with lamb in particular,
but this time of year,
even chicken or turkey.
Yes,
I saw on the menu you have roast beef there.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Beautiful with the beef.
It's a wine I think often is overlooked because we have the tendency to go for the Pinot Noir.
Yes,
because that's just what's recommended.
Yes.
But it's light enough, even if you tilt it slightly at your glass, you'll see there's a light rim on the edge.
Yeah, and John is twirling the glass there. He hasn't much left in that sip, I'll tell you already. But it's going down easy, John.
It's lovely. It's gorgeous, Jerry. It's gorgeous.
But it's such a balanced wine, Jerry. There's not too much wood on it.
Yeah.
There's not too much smokiness or anything like that.
Yes.
It's just a lovely, and I would definitely chance to drink it on its own.
Yeah. There you go. Yes, John, you said that. Sitting at the fire just by itself.
Relaxing, a nice glass of red wine. What more can anyone ask for?
Now, we are, of course, Easter is very early this year, and lamb, you know, I think, in my opinion, listen to my butcher, you want to leave it a bit later for the lamb, you know, and I know there is some lamb available, but more time will help it for sure. Yeah. Be lovely with lamb, that.
It would be.
Yeah,
like this weekend now, you know, on Sunday, we have lamb shanks on.
Oh!
So I think this will just blend in well with the lamb shanks.
Feed a lamb shank.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. That'll go just perfect with it there.
It will, Jerry.
Yeah.
It will because it's not too strong. Jurgen, I think, is just too light.
Yes.
And I think once you get to the Reserva, certainly the Grand Reserva, it'll be too strong.
Too strong for it.
Too much wood on it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is just...
Just fits the bill perfectly.
Just fits.
I want to recap the wines. Okay, the white is a Chardonnay from Rioja. Yes, believe it. I love the bottle because look what it says in it. I've never seen a bottle like that before. 875M. That's what you're looking for on the bottle. It's just a number. It's as simple as that. It's a beautiful Chardonnay, as John said there. You know, more is what he described. Just give us more of that there. And then the red is El Coto Crianza Tempranillo 2020. Both bottles are 15 euro.
Yeah.
Good value.
Absolutely.
Really good value in those.
Really good value.
And Alan McGuinness at McGuinness Wines on the Ramparts in Dundalk will look after you when you drop in. Let's finish off today, Rick, with your tip of the month for wine lovers out there. Tell us.
Yes. Yeah, well, what I say to people, Jerry, is that the way to serve it is that you go from light to heavy.
Yes.
And you go from dry to sweet. Imagine having a dessert wine, a Sauternes, and then you try a Sauvignon Blanc. Not going to work. all it'll do is straighten your wrinkles, and that's it. That'll be the end of it.
Oh, God, wait, no, hold on a minute. Straighten wrinkles. My ears have pricked up as soon as you said that. Can I do that? With a glass of wine? Wow, Rick, revelation on late lunch today.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, I know what you're saying.
It's just a... And we go for the bubbles first, because generally they're low in alcohol, you know, 9%, even down to 7%. And then your white wines, you know, Sauvignon Blanc, dry Riesling. And then you can move on to your heavy, a wooded Chardonnay, for instance. So
yes.
That's all Voina. And then we go for rosés, because rosés is in between, obviously.
Yeah.
And they tend to lean towards a touch of sweetness. And then you get your light reds, again, you know, your Pinot Noirs. And then you go into your heavies, your Shirazes, your Cabernets.
Yes.
And then finally, either your port or your dessert, if you're still standing.
Rick, I'm on the floor.
Absolutely.
For sure. But I know it is a journey, and if you make that journey in that way, and we always say again, drink responsibly, lots of water, pace yourself with your food. It is always important to drink alcohol responsibly. We always say that on this feature with Rick Cronje. Anyway, two crackers for Easter you've
beautiful.
Brought us today.
Really
and a
nice.
Lovely time of the year with the days getting longer, the clock's changing, and hopefully this blinking weather will pick up, Rick. But if it doesn't, as John said, you've the red by the fireside, and when it picks up, you've the lovely white there to get outside
to
and enjoy as well.
Absolutely.
Rick Cronje on the 10th birthday at the Valley Inn. It's been great to have you with us here this afternoon. Thank you, as always, for bringing your expertise to the show on wines. And, of course, this will be podcast a little later on, and you can pick up on it and listen back, or if anyone wants to rehear the wines that Rick has run the rule over today. Until next month, Rick Cronje, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jerry.
Back in a moment. Valley Inn, 10-year celebrations. Late Lunch live from the Valley Inn, celebrating 10 years in business, and it is hopping here this afternoon. Congratulations on your 10th year in business. We love coming here every week. That comes in from Siobhan Murphy Rooney. And will you wish Jerry Danielle Rooney a very happy 35th birthday today.
Ooh.
Danielle, happy birthday to you. Delighted to wish you a happy birthday. And the Murphys, the great Jackie's back with me. Jackie O'Connor's back with me. They love your place. You're hearing that there.
Yeah.
Look at
great
this
customers.
Thing.
Yeah,
look at your customers, your friends are all sending you the very best of wishes today. Now, for anybody in the house here, I know we have the big prizes to give away on air today. But Jackie and John have given us some lovely prizes for people who are in the Valley Inn and have been here for the duration of Late Lunch this afternoon. So what you've done is, Jackie, you've given cloakroom tickets to everybody coming in. So will we do the Sunday lunches first? Will we draw those first?
Yeah.
So look at, we have two vouchers for a three-course Sunday lunch for two people. So we're going to get two winners. Go on, Jackie, you draw. I'll get somebody to draw it there for you. Somebody just pull out a ticket there for us. Here we go. We'll get a ticket for you. Somebody else wants to get their ticket into the drum here before we do the draw. Jackie's left me here to my own devices. And while she's gone there, I'll just remind you that the Sunday morning request show, you can tune in this Sunday. Darren Mann is taking your special requests and dedications from 10 until 12 on Easter Sunday. And remember, you can listen to LMFM Country on the LMFM app, the website, or you can ask your smart speaker to play LMFM Country. That's the Sunday morning request show this Sunday on LMFM Country. So, we have two winners here for the three-course Sunday lunches for two people, and I tell you who's won them. Breege McAllister, well done to you. You've won a Sunday lunch for two here. And Dexter is on this. Whoever Dexter is, they just put the name on as Dexter. You win the Sunday lunches as well. Jackie, have you more winners there for me? Because we have... four Easter eggs to give away. Don't give away that Easter egg on that table. That's my catch Easter egg that I got from a listener there. There'll be ructions if that Easter egg is gone. No, they won't give it away. I know they won't. Anyway, let's get the Easter egg winners. Come on, two of them here. Okay, Denise. I don't know who you are, Denise, but we have your number here. You've won an Easter egg. Congratulations to you. Michael Nisi, you have an Easter egg. That's two Easter eggs. Keep them separate there. Two more. And we need two more for Easter eggs. Thanks, Jackie. Let's see who's on this one here. Emma Malloy. The Malloys have won an Easter egg as well. And let me see. The final Easter egg goes to John Swift. Well done to John. I want one more ticket, Jackie. That's for the lovely presentation case, a red and a white wine. Here's the final prize for those present in the Valley Inn today for late lunch. And that goes to Mary Smith. Well done to you. So you are the winner of the red and white wines. Thank you so much, Jackie. Thank you for those lovely prizes. So you see, if you come out for your lunch today and you won, it's a double whammy. It's another bonus. You're a winner, winner all the way. Late Lunch, LMFM Radio, Valley Inn, 10th anniversary. And we are going to head to top of the hour now for news, weather and sport. And on the way there, we're going to have a little song for you. Yes, we are indeed. But after three, more from the Valley Inn, my artist of the week, Diana Ross, and the big giveaway, €250 voucher for the Slieve Russell Hotel. Stay with us. Late Lunch Live from the Valley Inn, celebrating 10 years in business, and the messages just pour in for Jackie and John and everybody here. I'd be here all afternoon if I were to read through them. Just another one that reflects the love for them. I have to say, congratulations on 10 great years, John, Jackie and all the staff. Very proud to be part of the Valley Inn family. That comes in from Chloe Dowling and her family this afternoon. And there's loads and loads more there. I have to say a big thank you as well to Sheila Maloney. She's a great listener to LMFM and to Late Lunch. And Sheila never forgets us, Christmas or Easter. And she was in yesterday with the goodies for us. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you for the Easter egg. I never got an Easter egg in my life till this year. Now I have five of them. And I'm off the chocolate for Lent. I don't know what I'm going to do, son. I'll have them for breakfast. It looks like. And thank you to everybody who sent an egg in. I really do appreciate it. Now, Louise, who's back at base. I want to mention this. Louise Walsh back at base today. Thank you, Louise. Brian Farley, my right-hand man here. Give him a big round of applause. Could not do this without Brian Farley with me. He's absolutely brilliant. Thanks a million, Brian. Anyway, Louise, you're on the ball there back at base. I know. Let's roll, Diana.
The Late Lunch Artist of the Week.
Artist of the Week.
Yes, and my artist of the week this week is Diana Ross. Not going to say a whole lot about her today because the song speaks volumes. It was released in November 1985, written by the Bee Gees. Yes, it was. Became our second big number one in the UK, where it stayed for 3 weeks in March 1986. And it is a get up and dance. So wherever you are, up on your feet, let's get going. It's Miss Diana Ross and Chain Reaction. Of the week, Chain Reaction on your Late Lunch, coming to you live from the Valley Inn, Malera, celebrating 10 years in business this afternoon. Final break of the day coming up, and afterwards we're going to give away that €250 voucher for the Slieve Russell Hotel, and I have two fine strapping lads waiting to talk to me, General Manager Paul Conlon and Head Chef Ian Brennan. Stay with us on Late Lunch. We're in the final leg at the Valley Inn Malera of our wonderful live show this afternoon. It's been a real pleasure to be here. We are making that call. If you entered the competition, there's €250 voucher up for grabs now for the Slieve Russell Hotel. Louise back at base is phoning somebody there. We'll hear the phone now in a moment ringing, and hopefully they'll pick up and they'll answer the question right first time round. Earlier on in the show, yes, we had a big winner. Siobhan Gray from Navan will be coming to the Valley Inn. It's ringing. It's ringing. Here we go. Let's see.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Who am I talking
Hello.
To?
Hello.
Hello. Who's that? Who's that?
Martin O'Hanra and Jerry.
Martin. Ah, you know who's calling you. Good man yourself.
Oh, I know,
Martin,
Jerry. I know.
Where are you today? Tell us where you are.
I'm in Seaview Manigat.
Oh, good man yourself. Lovely Annegas. And well, you're not far from where we are this afternoon either. Have you ever been up to the Valley Inn for a bite to eat?
Oh, I'm a very, very frequent visitor, Jerry. Very frequent.
Oh, even better.
We have
so
we've got a big family do above at confirmation in a couple of weeks.
There you go. Isn't that just great? Well, now, do you know what we have for you now? Potentially, a €250 voucher for the Slieve Russell Hotel. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds grand, Jerry. Sounds grand.
Great. Nearly as nice as Anna Gasson.
Well, occasionally.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. All right.
We leave Anna Gasson, you know.
And the sun is shining as we speak here now. Okay, so you know the form here. I have gone to the a la carte menu here in the Valley Inn, and I've picked something from the a la carte menu. One dish, right? And there's two others I'm going to call out to you now that are not on the menu here. You must pick the one that's on the menu here in the Valley Inn. Is that okay?
That's okay, Jerry, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Have a listen. Listen carefully, very carefully. Okay, here we go. Surf and turf, chicken kung po, or risotto a la Milanese. Which is on the menu here?
I go for surf and turf, Jerry.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Give him a big cheer. Give him a big cheer. Oh, the God almighty. I was sweating earlier and double sweat here. Good job. I put the old deodorant on today. Anyway, you've won the €250 voucher for the Slieve Russell. How about that for Easter, sir?
That's great, Jerry. And if a nice anniversary coming up shortly. So
there you go.
And the wife will enjoy that.
Oh my God, a romantic night in the Slieve Russell from Anna Gasson.
It's a while since we had a good romantic one, but we'll see when we
try something. Lord, she's in for it. Oh my God almighty. Is she there listening to you as we talk? Is she with you?
Oh, she's sitting here. She's panicking now.
She's panicking, is right? I don't know what she said there. Anyway,
She wants to go into the dark and do a bit of shopping. That's the only problem we have now.
Ah, should the practicalities of life have to be done too, haven't they? Martin O'Hanrahan, congratulations. They're looking forward to seeing you here in the Valley Inn. Enjoy your Slieve Russell win. Thank you for joining me.
That's great, Jerry. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Take care now. Bye-bye. Wasn't that lovely? And a customer here as well, too, to boot, which is fantastic. Let's talk to the lads. They're waiting to chat to me. Paul Conlon is the general manager here and Ian Brennan, head chef. Ian, I want to ask you first, the kitchen, honestly, you're in your garb, you're only out here for a few minutes, you're under pressure here today with all the people who are here. Are you a man in the kitchen that's very mild and easy to work with and laid back and easy going? Or are you, you know what I mean, the other type
that's
that we see on television?
Extremely biased question. Of course I'm calm. No problems.
You're not a Gordon Ramsay.
Definitely not.
I didn't want
Definitely
to mention
not.
The name. You're not.
No,
you're not.
No. If I've and that's the reason why I'm here so long. Because it's like a family. We all work fantastic together.
Yes.
Even under pressure. And John and Jackie are amazing. They put their shoulder to the wheel when it's needed. So it's fantastic.
Mm. How long are you here?
Just under 10 years.
God almighty.
Yeah.
You must be really happy in your job.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And as I said, the O'Connells, they're just like a family. They're very good.
Mm.
They're very good employers. And just want to take this moment. All the kitchen would like to say thank you to them. And they're just amazing.
Ah, come on. Come on. That is just really nice of you.
No problem.
It really is. You took a little sabbatical. You went studying, did you?
Yeah, I took a year out. I've been studying in TALA, Technology University Dublin. I'd first done a degree in food production, and then I went on to do applied culinary nutrition. I'd done a master's in that. So,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Good on you. Now we know why the grub is so good.
It's not just me. There's a fantastic team.
I know
here,
it is a team.
You know, so.
But that all enhances that study, that knowledge, that everything brings it to the plate.
Of course it does.
Yes, it does. Come on, you're a modest man. It does. Let's talk to the general manager, Paul Conlon. Paul, thank you for joining us on the show. You echo, I take it, what's been said there by Ian.
Yeah, second everything you said. Like, you know, when you're working for two people for 10 years, you have to be happy what you do or you wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
They're excellent employers, you reap what you sow, and that's where we are today.
What's the secret of keeping all these people? Look at the amount of people that have been in here and out of a Thursday. And I want to say, of all ages, children, families, individuals, you name it, they're all coming in through the doors. And, you know, I suppose it's a challenge to keep everybody happy.
Sure, you know, everything is a challenge in life, Jerry, but, you know, there's probably several ingredients to be successful, and that's to be consistent. Mm. And if you're consistent in every aspect of business, whether it's front of house, back of house staff, I think you do okay.
Mentioned pressure in the kitchen, Ian, there a moment ago, and there is pressure, of course there's at times, there's pressure out on the floor as well with all your team as well.
That's hospitality.
You have to pull that together, you're the man, you know what I mean?
But you know, everyone does their job, you know, and it's just like a cog in the wheel, keep the wheel turning.
It's not important that anybody that joins the team here has to buy into the work ethic, the ethos of this place.
Well, it's not in everybody.
Yeah. You know, and it doesn't work out for some people, I'm sure, at times.
You know, horse for courses.
Yes.
Some people like it, some don't. But to be here working with the same employers for 10 years is a testament to both John and Jackie.
Who's that here, Wigan? You're one of the staff there. She just put her head round the corner to make sure you're saying all the right things. Who was that? Who was that? I don't know who it was there. Who was it?
Rachel.
Rachel was just putting her head around the corner there just to make sure you're on the straight and narrow.
Oh, she's watching you.
Keeping a good eye on you. But you get that here. I have to say, come back to that point again. The smile, the welcome, the friendliness.
The smile, the welcome, the quality, the service. It's one big wheel, Jerry. And most of all, consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency is the key.
You again are very happy in your shoes here.
Well, I've been around a long time now.
Yeah,
so.
You are, and that is a big secret to it. Anyway, I just want to say to you before you go back to the kitchen, I was here one Sunday and I got a Caesar salad.
Another biased question.
Yes, with chicken in it. And I was back a few weeks later and it wasn't on the menu and my heart sunk. It's not on the menu every Sunday, is it not? The Caesar with
Are you here every Sunday?
I'm not here every Sunday, you see. So it's hit and miss. That's the way it goes, is it? Okay. I was told the Cajun chicken, I should have had it in the salad the day I was here. I didn't.
We'll work on it.
Will you work on that? Will you work on that Caesar salad for me with the chicken?
Will you work it coming more often?
I will.
Okay.
I promise you that.
Okay.
It's a deal. Is that a deal?
Yeah.
Best Caesar salad, seriously, I've ever tasted. I want to say that here now. And I've eaten them in this country and over the world. It was the best I've ever tasted in this place here.
I'll pass that on to the team.
Yeah,
thank you.
Please do. Let John hop in just for the last word, will you, lads, there? Jackie, do you want to join us just for a final word before we go? We're almost finished here in the Valley Inn. Look, may I say again, you've heard what your staff have said about you. We are inundated with good wishes on WhatsApp or text the late lunch this afternoon. The people are smiling in this place as they come in and out the door. And for what you've done for over 40 people to give jobs to in this area, how you've grown this business and looked after them for all these years, may I say on behalf of everybody to the O'Connells, Jackie and John, thanks a million.
Oh, Jerry, thank you.
Jerry.
Thanks a million.
Thanks very much.
You are great people, and what you have here is something really special. And long, long may that continue. 10 years, here's to the next 10 on the O'Connells and the Valley Inn. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
It's been a real pleasure. It's been a great show. It really has. Good luck to you all and take care. That's it on Late Lunch for this week and Easter. Thanks to all our guests. Thanks to you, our listeners, for joining in every day. Thanks to my producer, Louise Walsh, and Brian Farley again. And here comes the cake. Let's finish with a roundation. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Yes. Happy birthday to you. Hip hip.
All right.
Hip hip. That's it. See you after Easter. Take care. Bye.
Thanks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.